We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast Fiesta Bowl Flashback Edition. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Hi, everybody. It's time once again for another edition of the Fiesta Bowl Flashback Podcast here on the Beaver Sports Network. I'm John Warren, along with Mike Parker. This week, Mike sat down with Jake Kukas, Oregon State's special teams coordinator, but an outstanding safety during his playing days at OSU from 1998 through 2001. We'd like to offer a special thanks to Lacrosse Boots for making this Fiesta Bowl Flashback edition of the podcast possible. Beaver fans, when you need a pair of boots for that rainy Oregon weather, choose a boot done right. Lacrosse Boot, done right since 1897. And we'd like to send a special thank you to your local Toyota dealers for sponsoring this podcast. Outside of helping bring this podcast to life, Toyota has created a special rewards program just for Beaver fans. Win exclusive memorabilia and Fiesta Bowl swag throughout the year, along with getting an OSU premium giveaway in the mail each time you bring your car in to get serviced. To register for the program, visit osubeavers.com/Toyota-rewards-program. Again, special thank you to Toyota for sponsoring today's podcast.
Jake, it has been a pleasure as we await the beginnings of a 2020 football season for Oregon State. 20 years later, while we wait, we've been looking back week to week on the Beavers' remarkable season, of which you were such a huge part of 20 years ago. But as enjoyable as this will be, I believe, to look back with you on that season and your career at Oregon State, before we launch into this, just a sense from you. We don't know the timetables yet, but as a coach in year three with Jonathan Smith and getting ready, you've been with the program back at your alma mater since 2016. Is it fair to say you, the coaches, the players, everybody hoping to hear good news about kind of getting the 2020 season going again?
Yeah, definitely. We're ready to roll. We're excited. We're just, you know, hoping there's an opportunity for us to play this fall. I know the guys are really excited, and we're, you know, we're ready to roll when they tell us we can get going. So definitely looking forward to it.
One note on that before we begin the review of 2000 from your perspective. It seems these days in this era, the emphasis on year-round, 365 days a year strength, conditioning, workouts, and so on, that most student athletes seem to commit to and buy into and understand. Might that mitigate, you know, whether it's 5 weeks, 6 weeks, however long it takes? Do you feel guys, for the most part, not speaking for everyone, but stay in relatively good shape and can ramp up to full practices sooner in this era, maybe than in a different era?
Yeah, I believe so. I think guys nowadays are, you know, whether it be mandatory or voluntary, guys like to work out. They take a lot of pride in it, and they like to work out. So I think our guys will definitely be ready. You know, it's a little different than back when I was playing. You took, you know, summers off kind of, and you know, when it wasn't mandatory, you weren't there. But nowadays, you know, whether voluntary or mandatory, guys just they enjoy working out. They want to, you know, be the best athlete they can, and whatever they can do to take advantage of that, they do. So I definitely think our guys will be ready to roll sooner than later.
Jake, let's jump back and by way of getting into 2000, just a little bit about your own life, Roseburg, growing up on a cattle ranch and working that diligently, and then winning back-to-back state championships as an option quarterback and a defensive back, all state in both offense and defense. In 96, 97, or 95 and 96, then graduated in 97. 28-0 as a starting quarterback. But the opportunities to keep playing collegiately, at least, you know, as the recruiting process went on, maybe not what you hoped it would be. So what were your options coming out of Roseburg High School?
Coming out of high school, you know, I wasn't really heavily recruited, or not much, but had some opportunities to go to some smaller schools and you know, D3, D2, and then me being an option quarterback at a high school, I did get recruited by the Air Force and Naval Academies because they're option schools. So those are my two best options at a high school. So I chose to go to the Air Force Academy.
You spent a quarter there, and what went on for you in that experience to not stay longer and end up coming back home?
Going to the Air Force Academy was definitely a different experience for me. Maybe I didn't have a military background. You know, I went there and I enjoyed the football aspect of it for the most part. But, you know, the military lifestyle and you know, this just wasn't really my forte. So I decided after going through the first season to come back and walk on at Oregon State.
Yeah, and what about that, Jake? And by the way, the mesh wasn't quite a fit for you, not by any reason for a fear of hard work and discipline. I mean, you worked a cattle ranch. That's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Just growing up on a cattle ranch and you know, playing football at Roseburg High School back in the day, you had to be disciplined and you had to be a hard worker. So, you know, that was instilled in me from growing up with my dad and working on a ranch and then going and playing ball for Thurman Bell down there at Roseburg High School. So, yeah, definitely hard work and discipline was instilled in me early.
Backtracking a little bit, so Bell was tough. Huh? I mean, his practices were tough and demanding. He was also a Beaver. Tell me a little bit about his practices and his approach as a coach in terms of the demanding nature of them and the toughness of those practices.
Yeah, he was very disciplinarian, and you know, the way you dress, everybody had to be in the same outfits. Nobody stood out. Nobody was different, and it was just the expectation. And he expected to demand a lot of us, and we gave it back to him. So, you know, he taught me a lot about you know, just doing things the right way, and just persevering and just grinding, because that's what we did there. And it was just a culture. You know, expectation, and guys did it, and we had a lot of success there. And I believe, you know, a lot of it was because of the way he ran the program and the discipline and the expectations he had for us.
How aware were you of his Oregon State status and Rose Bowl participant and all of that? And the last time the Beavers went to Pasadena, did you know that? Did he make it clear, hey, I'm a Beaver through and through? I mean, was that something you were aware of?
I knew he played at Oregon State and was a really good football player. You know, back when I was playing, you know, sometimes a coach would have to get out there and demonstrate, or he'd show some guys some things, how to do things when it wasn't up to par. So he was super competitive. And he was a really tough guy. And I heard stories about him when he used to come back and play playing a alumni game. He used to come back, and back then they played alumni games, but I guess he used to go out back there and light some of the players up, and they had to pull him back because he was, you know, quite an athlete and a tough guy. So, yeah, I definitely knew about Coach Bell, and he's a legend. So I was fortunate to play for him.
So then I get into all of that only because you come back to his alma mater, you come back to Oregon State. How does that work, Jake? I don't want to get anybody in any kind of trouble, but when it became known, or you made it known, or that the Air Force Academy was not the best fit for you, how do you end up at Oregon State?
I had three of my teammates in high school play, come to Oregon State right out of high school, and they were on the team, you know, as an Air Force, they were freshmen here, and I reached out to them and said, hey, what do you think about me coming, and could you get a hold of maybe a coach or something? And so one of the guys got a hold of the coach, and it kind of went from there. But I asked him, what do you think I could play at this level? And a couple of guys are like, yeah, definitely, man. You definitely can play with these guys. So that kind of got the ball rolling with that.
So you end up walking on in 98. And the amazing thing to me, Jake, is that in your whole career, you never missed a game. I mean, you had 44 games to play in and played in all 44. And that's remarkable in its own right. Tell us about the role that began to develop for you when you got to Oregon State.
When I got to Oregon State, they put me, on defense, which I played a lot of defense in high school, but I was primarily a quarterback. But, I wanted whatever opportunity they gave me, I was going to make the most of. So, I said, hey, you want to put you at safety? And I said, okay, let's go. So I just worked at safety and got some opportunities to go out there on special teams early, and that's kind of where I made my mark with special teams. Give me an opportunity, I'm gonna take advantage of it, and it kind of blossomed from there. But at the end of the day, special teams what really got me on the field and got me to be able to showcase my ability and be able to make some plays on there. And here I am now, a special teams coach. So
I was gonna ask you if that had a impact, Jake. Just playing special teams as much as you did, even during the 2000 season that we're going to get to, you had plays on special teams that were important that year. Did you develop an appreciation, a sense of not knowing, I'm not saying you knew you were going to coach them someday, but do you think playing on teams as much as you did helped shape your thinking about the importance of them, and you still can hark back to your own experiences as a special teams player?
Yeah, without a doubt. Special teams definitely as I grew with it and made more plays and stuff, I was like, this is a great opportunity to get on the field and a great opportunity to make some plays and change the game. Whether it be, running down on kickoff, springing a guy on punt return block, and just knowing that, like, you can contribute and hopefully make some plays. And I've, grown their appreciation as a player and now definitely as a special teams coach.
You were part of, thus, in 98, as we kind of move towards a deeper look at 2000. But in 98, Jake, you were part of a special year in terms of you could see the program was beginning to build some momentum. You won some amazing games, the Civil War, back when it was called that. You won that in one of the more amazing games I've ever had the honor of seeing. You had a couple of heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, close losses. But what did you see happening in 98, just overall, that got you excited for 99, 2000, et cetera?
I think the biggest thing I saw, the culture of our team changing, believing that we can actually win a game. That's a big thing when you can start building that culture and getting in the fourth quarter and say, instead of being like, oh, here we go again, it's like, hey, we can win this game. And, we won the Civil War game. I thought, it's a huge game. And I think it kind of gave a lot of momentum going into the offseason and going into the next year. So that was definitely a big thing for us, I believe.
In that 98 game here, the Civil War, Jake, I wonder if you were on the special teams unit, maybe you even recovered, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but I thought that game might have turned on a special teams mistake on Oregon's part. Michael Fletcher was back in punt formation late and fumbled. you had to punt it away. He fumbles, Beavers recover and go on to tie, and then, of course, go on to win in double overtime. Were you on? You remember that play and the punt and the recovery and the scramble for it and all that, and how, like you said, a special teams play can turn a game?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly the detail of that play, but I do vaguely remember that, us recovering a punt and changing the game.
Okay. How it's funny. I've talked to Jonathan, Jim Mihalchuk, and others for this Fiesta Bowl flashback podcast. And Jake, when I asked Jonathan about certain games, he said, I remember nothing. So as we get to 2000, I'm wondering, just big picture, do you have – we'll get to the Civil War game, which I'm sure you remember well. Beaver Nation won't ever let you forget it, and I'm sure you won't ever forget it either. But how vivid, how clear are the memories for you of that 2000 season sort of as a whole? And then we'll get to some specifics as we go.
I remember bits and pieces, I remember more about, the guys and that, not necessarily into the details, but I do remember a few specific moments throughout the year, but not probably to each play, but yeah.
Okay. But the opener, you blocked a punt. You get an interception. That's a pretty good game to open the season for you, but a narrow escape. Dennis said we were lucky to get out of there alive. So what do you remember about the opener, your pick when that came, and the blocked punt as well?
I just remember Eastern Washington was a really, really good football team, and they had some really good offensive players coming into the game. And, we were like not trying to take them lightly, because they were a powerhouse in the FCS. I do remember vaguely making a play there. And I just remember coming down close and, man, after that game being like, whoa, what do we got? We got to get better. But we made a couple plays to win the game. So, yeah, that's what I remember.
You had a big part in that win. Not so much statistically at New Mexico in 2000, just in terms of defensive numbers for you at the end of the game. But do you have any recollection about the New Mexico narrow escape?
Yeah. I remember getting into Mexico and going out there in warm-ups and being, man, it's hard to breathe here because it was elevation. So I definitely remember that and remember them having a really physical, tough team coached by Rocky Long and us, basically finding a way to win, early in the season. It's like, on the road, just find a way to win. And we found a way to win. And I remember coming back home. Actually, this is our air. I think we had a flat tire. We had to sit at the airport in Vegas for a while, but took us forever to get home. But yeah, just finding a way to win. That's what I really remember.
Okay. San Diego State, some momentum, some traction begins to build, it seems, on offense. You win that one big, 35-3. Your defense was overwhelming, Jake. So just maybe a big picture on defensive play throughout that year. You were versatile. I mean, you started two games as a strong safety. You started two games as a free safety. How comfortable were you with that kind of versatility in your role on that defense?
I felt like I could kind of play any of the safety positions. But, as a defense, I felt as we, the other third game, then we started to get an identity. We started to really get some confidence, and we always had, had some personalities on the defense, but I believe, we started to really get some confidence after that game and know that, hey, it doesn't matter who you are, you can't score on us on defense, and kind of getting that personality, that swag. I think that's when we started getting some penalties for celebration, some of our defensive guys. But yeah, definitely starting to build some confidence on defense, and that's what I do remember by then.
We'll get back to more of our podcast with Jake Kukas on the Fiesta Bowl flashback in a moment. Beaver fans, have you joined the Game Day Wine Club created by Willamette Valley Vineyards? Members receive special benefits and portions of the sale go to support the Fermentation Science Program at OSU. Sign up today during the Fiesta Bowl flashback edition of the podcast at wvv.com/gameday. And special thanks to our Fiesta Bowl Flashback Edition podcast partner, the Oregon State eCampus. The world has shifted towards online education, and no one does it better than Oregon State eCampus. You can choose from the more than 75 programs and earn your degree online from a nationally ranked leader in the industry. Learn more today at ecampus.oregonstate.edu. Time now to get back to Jay Kukas in this week's edition of the Fiesta Bowl Flashback Podcast here on the Beaver Sports Network.
The USC game then, Jake, here at Reser, to get you to 4-0. Do you have anything come to mind about that one in particular?
I do remember the possum. Was that the game when the possum came out? That was, but I just remember just USC coming to Oregon State and us having a good football team, playing with some confidence. Reser was packed. Everybody was going nuts, and we came out, and I don't know, it was the first time we beat him in 26 years, and I just remember like playing with a lot of confidence and you know, winning that game, and it's like, hey, we're for real now.
It had actually been 33 years, but 26 straight losses to USC. It was such a fun game to be around. My favorite moment on two fronts: Terrence Carroll gets a pick on Carson Palmer, and I thought he's going to the house, but the quarterback had a different idea. Do you remember that? I mean, just thinking about the athletic ability of that, of watching their quarterback chase Terrence down. Now, Terrence, in fairness, had run a long way.
Yeah, I just remember that on Sunday giving him a lot of grief. I think the whole defense, that he got caught by a quarterback.
That was a big moment to get you to 4-0. The only loss of the season occurred the next game. There's a lot of moments in that game, too. You look back, well, if this, then that. What are your thoughts about that Washington game in 2000? A loss it was, and yet it felt like just an amazing college football game.
Yeah, it was an amazing game. I remember just going back and forth, and, I mean, they had some – I think their quarterback was Marcus Tuiasosopo. They had some great weapons, and we – I think at that point our offense was really clicking, and it was kind of going back and forth, and it was like whoever had the ball last was going to win. I think Coach Smith had an amazing game there, and I think, you know, some – Chad and TJ really started to shine, and it was just a tough game, but it was an amazing experience playing at Husky Stadium with 70,000 people, and it was just a great college atmosphere. So it was a tough one to lose, but I think we still came away thinking that we got a lot of confidence that we can beat anybody and play with anybody in the country.
We saw a rare thing that night. Do you remember the two-point score by Keith Hayward Johnson in Seattle on that? Do you remember the play at all?
Yeah, I think I was in on it. He scooped and scored and went for like 98 on extra. Was it extra point?
I think they were. They might have been going for two. I think because if they were, that's why you got two instead of one, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, no, I remember that Keith running down the field. Yeah, it was awesome.
Was one of the memorable moments in a great game, but a loss. But the game was so well played, in some ranking services, you guys actually moved up. Whether the voters didn't have the results because it was so late out on the West Coast and you'd beaten USC the week before and you're 4-0 now, 4-1, you actually moved up in some rankings. So that doesn't happen often. Win or lose, that was a three-point loss, as the record shows, but you came out of it maybe even more convinced about how good you were. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I believe that we've, I mean, no, you know, it's tough to lose a close game, but like I said, I think we walked away saying we can play with anybody in the country.
Mm-hmm. So now the role begins. When I think back to the way you began to steamroll people on both sides of the ball in running the table from that point, I want to get to specifically to the Cal game and your role in it late. My sense is, I remember Simonton. I'm just talking from my own memory. Simonton with a big run early, got caught at the one, but you go up, and you actually build a pretty big lead in that thing down in Berkeley. Do you remember, though, Cal making a comeback late and it getting a little bit dicey at the end?
Yeah, they came back in the second half, I think in the fourth quarter, and they had got some momentum going. And they're coming down to score, I believe. And I stepped in front of a pass and got a pick, kind of to ice the game, I believe. So that was a big play for us.
Okay. If you don't mind sharing the story, then now it can be told 20 years later, department. You get the pick to seal the game, but there's a little more to it. What happens as you head upfield?
Well, actually, so I got the pick, and I – got some open space to run, and so I started running the other way, and I was about ready to get tackled, and one of the linebackers was behind me, and he was calling to pitch it, and me being an option quarterback, I knew, you know, so I just went ahead and pitched it to him, and he probably got another 5 yards, but I guess it, when I got off the sidelines, Coach Erickson went and grabbed me and said, "Don't you ever do that again," and I told him, "Relax, Coach, I was an option quarterback, I know what I'm doing." So he didn't like that answer, but it was all good.
How fiery was Dennis? I mean, what a competitive guy. What was it like to play for him and to have a moment like that with him on the sideline?
Yeah, he was a fiery guy, super competitive, but I enjoyed playing for him. He was always a player's coach. He had players in mind first and foremost with everything, but he was a just always remember he was so competitive and always always approachable too, whether you're a walk-on guy or starter, you know, you could go and talk to him anytime. So I always appreciated that about him.
Jake, was that the only time the option quarterback skills came into play in your 4 years at Oregon State on a play where you actually pitched the ball out to pitch it to Darnell on the interception return? Was that the only time, or did you have any other moments where those skills came back for you?
You know what? I think I did a few in practice, but I don't, or in scrimmages, but none in the game.
Okay. Well, Beavers win that one 38-32. The thing that I remember then about Arizona was James Allen in particular, just in the Arizona backfield all night, as was the whole defense. But for some reason, James, does that his play stands out. Do you remember it that way too?
Yeah, I remember that was a huge game for him. He was all over the field. They had a pretty good offense. I do remember in particular they had a really good receiver that we were, you know, keying in on, trying to shut him down. But yeah, James went off. Yeah.
So now that brings you to, and we'll kind of wrap things up on this and then get a final thought from you on this Fiesta Bowl flashback edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. The great Civil War game, as it was known then, and it's always going to be in our minds, I think, as that. We're waiting for the new name. But 20 years ago, we're conducting this interview within Valley Football Center, so Reser Stadium, our backdrop. It's one of the memorable games in the history of Oregon State Athletics, and you end up being the ABC Chevrolet player of the game because you get three interceptions and a pass breakup. Jake, we've done this before, but let's do it again because it never gets old, at least for Beaver Nation or for me. I know that. Could you take your first two picks, set up the first two scores, Smith to Prescott, two touchdown passes, 14-0, but you set up those fields, the defense did. What do you remember about the first one?
I just remember the first one that Joey Harrington, at the time the quarterback, I think he saw me on man-to-man coverage, and he knew he was going to try to come after me. So I knew he was going to look my way or come towards us. And anyways, I think our linebacker got a – we actually switched from man to zone. We're showing man and went zone. And linebacker Darnell, he got a piece of it. And I just happened to just, you know, just the old tip drill. He gets tipped and get it and turn around. I was still bummed out because I got the ball and I was like, okay, I'm going to score. And I'll never forget the guy that – tackled me was a fullback, and now he's actually the coach at Sheldon right now, so I know he always gives me grief about that, but I remember that's what I remember about that play.
So you had a return going. It's difficult for me to remember it at the moment exactly what unfolded. Was that one of those where you thought when you got it you might score?
Yeah, you know, the old high school quarterback skills, running came back, you know. To put my foot in the ground, I think I made one guy miss. It was probably an old lineman, but I think I got caught like about the 10-yard line, just barely. I was bummed out. I really, you know, I never got scored a touchdown my whole college career, so that was a bummer.
Well, you set one up. Jonathan hits Robert Prescott. Then, still in the first quarter, again, tell us what you remember about pick two, which set up the Beavers' second touchdown.
Yeah, I just remember ball coming my way. The guy was running a corner route, and I just kind of undercut it and threw my hand up there and snagged it and got kind of lucky on that one.
Jonathan to Prescott again, Beavers up 14-0. I was thinking, hey, this is, you know, the Beavers have been dominating people. This is going to be another one. It felt that early, but they were good. I mean, that was a good football team you were playing, so that thing got pretty tight too, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, looking back on it, when I see the replays, it's like we had got five takeaways from them, and it was still down to the wire. So they had a really good team, and you know, I think their defense and their offense was lights out. So you know, to get five takeaways and be that close to the game, they were a good team.
Yeah. So you end up in a position to get a third. Everyone was critical, obviously. So pick three, Jake, to have a three-interception game at any level is unbelievable. And the third one, what do you recall about that one?
On that one, I kind of had a feeling pre-snap, if I remember right, where they were going to go with the ball based on whatever the formation, you know, what we had worked on that week. So I basically just was in the post, and he threw it, and I ran over there, and kind of it was a little bit overthrown, and just – I was in the right spot, right time, and was fortunate to get that one.
Well, that was you ran over and got it, pick three for you for the day. How has that lived for you, Jake, in terms of it being referenced all the time and your alma mater back home, going back to your hometown, if you and Joey ever interact together about it, how it's lived these last 20 years in your life as just one of the big days on the football field for you?
Yeah, it has. It has definitely, since I moved back to Oregon, being at Oregon State, it's been a way bigger deal. You know, I've been away, you know, at different places coaching and Utah and Montana and Kentucky and Hawaii. Nobody really cared about it then. So I guess now that I'm back home, it's definitely a bigger deal, and it's brings back a lot of great memories, and it's kind of fun when Civil War Week comes around every year now that I'm coaching for the Beavs, and some of the guys on the team are like, "Coach, you really got three picks?" I'm like, "Yeah, man."
You can watch it, look it up, or listen back to it here on the Fiesta Bowl Flashback. Jake, on that, have you and Joey ever interacted about it? Did anybody ever try to get the two of you Oregonians together to look back on it? Has he been a good sport about it?
Yeah, he has. I went on one of his shows a couple of years ago, and then I've talked to him here and there. Basically, Civil War Week, he said we send each other a text, but no, he's been good with it. You know, I think he's over it, you know, after 20
well,
years.
We'll never get over it as a great memory. Jake, in closing, we talked earlier about special teams, but just to kind of bring us back up to date as we wrap it up here, your own participation at Oregon State on special teams, even in the 2000 year, you know, to make plays, to block a field goal, to be involved in important moments there. Your coaching arc began to take shape with special teams. Was it for Rich Brooks that kind of got going, where that became something you really did he give you that opportunity, another former Beaver?
Yeah, and I got the opportunity to go to Kentucky as a graduate assistant. I originally went there to be a defensive graduate assistant, and then as I got there, I started getting involved more with special teams as well. The special teams coordinator said, "Hey, I want you to do this, you know, run the scout team," and then he kind of took me under his wing and taught me a lot about special teams along with defensive stuff. But I always had a spot in, you know, with special teams because it gave me an opportunity to get my career started. So always had a lot of appreciation. So, yeah, I learned a lot about that in 2002 working for Coach Brooks. He gave me my first coaching opportunity. So I got that for 2 years. I learned under Coach Brooks and the special teams coordinator then. So, yeah.
Well, we are glad that you are back for another year as Oregon State's special teams coordinator at your alma mater. Jake, we appreciate you taking time, a good amount of your time. That's what everybody seems to have had lately, is a lot of time. You're hoping that changes here very soon, where there's time only for practice prep, review, game prep, et cetera, right?
Yeah, I'm anxious to get going with football. You know, I've had quite a bit of time off, been got to do some fun things, but now I'm ready to roll.
Thanks a lot, Jake.
Yep. Go Beavs.
Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Facebook Flashback podcast. This week's guest, Jay Kukas. Beaver fans, you do not want to miss the new Facebook Live Chew on This show. Head to the Beaver Athletic Facebook page and find the new live show that's aired and produced each Monday. Beaver fans, this is something you don't want to miss. You'll have the ability to ask questions for the weekly guests as we bring on current and former OSU coaches and players to dive into the Fiesta Bowl throwback, along with exclusive content and fun segments. So you can all get to hear what's going on with OSU Athletics, the Fiesta Bowl season, and just get to know our guests a little better. Check out the show on the Beaver Athletics Facebook page, but also join us live each Monday via Facebook Live.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast Fiesta Bowl Flashback Edition. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.